Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I had a lot of fun this weekend in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I want to thank everybody who came out to see my stand-up out there. Always a fun time. Hope to see you guys out there real soon. And for all of those of you listening who maybe haven't done this yet, if you get a chance, go to iTunes. Leave a nice comment or two about the podcast. It always helps to have some good comments floating around out there. Would really appreciate it and appreciate you guys being loyal listeners. And now, enjoy my guest, Lauren Zander.
A very dear friend, somebody who I love very much, who's been very close to me, very good to me. And she has a phenomenal story, a really interesting human being that's trying to change the world. And I think she's doing it. She's a life coach to CEOs and to celebrities and to average folk like me, but also beyond that, the co-founder and chairwoman of Handel Group, which is a all-encompassing life coaching, get your act together company. Lauren Zander. Hi there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You got this new thing called Inner You, which yes. We're going to get to. And in getting to that, I want folks who aren't familiar with life coaching and think it's you make people walk on hot coals and cry all day. It's you're very different from most. I worked with you. You did help me, even though you don't believe you did. And I probably should see you more, but I don't. But there's only so much of me people can take. So you are sort of the other end, not obviously the end of the spectrum of therapy, but like your feeling is sort of what you call hacking into your own life is where you have to start in your process and your method. And explain that to folks a little bit.
So most people don't design their own lives. They think they're, you know, oh, I'm good at this. I'm not good at this. This is, you know, because of my parents, because of this, because of life. So most people are running this continuum of a story, like they know themselves and they, you know, this is what happened.
Yeah. And this is a story that kind of got put upon them by circumstances and history and all of that, right?
It's a little sad because, you know, you figured out what you think you were good and bad at when you were, what, 10?
Right,
like 19,
right?
You think you know like we think we know ourselves, and it's really unfair, untrue, and we're so much better than we even deal with.
Right.
But if no one's, the problem with life is we all stay in whatever language it's in, like your head, the way you talk to yourself, the way the world talks about life itself. Right.
So for example, the language would be, I'm overweight. I've always been overweight. I'm never going to be skinny. I'm ugly. Or I'm not smart. I never was smart in school. I'm never going to, whatever that stuff is, right?
So there's a narrative that comes with you from your history, your family, Italian, I'm a Jew, right? Right. Yeah. And so and then the story is laid upon us, right?
Right.
So, and we really have no choice about it, right? I have to carry the sword for the Holocaust, right? Like as serious, right? Like, you know, if I was born black, I'm like, oh shit, I was a slave, right? Like we don't get out of the story, right? Right. And then the consequence of that is profound. Right. In just the way society runs. Right. So the least I'm not going to hack it at that level. Right. It would be really nice, but maybe I will. I'm working on it.
You will. You have big dreams and you achieve them.
I have very big dreams and I am working on achieving them. But in regards to what's the individual can become anything it wants to become. It really isn't like, yes, you have a style or a nature to you, but have I been working with humans to change their style and nature? Yeah.
So right. How does someone hear that? Like you can be whatever you want to be and who might be jaded listening and go, yeah, you know, that's just something that people say. And you know, it's like, how do you, cause I imagine when you start working with people, you confront that like, kind of jaded. How do you break people of that thinking?
So I teach personal integrity. Like you can keep, most people suck at keeping promises to themselves, but they're very good at keeping promises to others.
Why do you think that is?
Because you're going to get in trouble. You care about what other people think. That's the, like, oh, you'll get fired. It's true, right? There will be consequences that are external and embarrassing or required so that you deal with surviving your life, right? To thrive, you know, and people who really thrive, I'm helping people thrive. Right.
How do you define thrive versus sort of typically how we live our lives? What does that mean for you?
Thrive really means that you have a list of things that would make you proud of yourself. Like, God, if I was that guy, if I was that father, if I was that son, if I was that comedian, right? Like if I produced these results, if I made this happen in my life, now then I would be wildly proud of myself. Right. And then all of a sudden, when you go, I wish I had this body, I wish I had this love life, I wish I had this career, it then shifts what you better do every day.
But isn't there a school of thought that says you shouldn't be defined by how big a comedian, in my case, I am, or how big a corporation is that you're running, and that you should sort of have your sense of self-worth based in just who you are as a human being and not your achievements and your resume?
Totally different. I don't use the subject that way, right? So I go, you have a relationship with yourself, and being in love with being alive and a healthy relationship to your like relationship with yourself gets that, right? Like there is no amount of, oh, I used to make this much money. Now I make this much money. Now I make this much money. That's not going to change if you hate yourself or not. Right? Though, be clear, it's much better to be making that much money than that much money.
Right?
Even though you still don't like yourself. Right? Like, no one's going to go, but I like, that's not the point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I break out all the categories. So the category you're talking about is a relationship to yourself. And a relationship to yourself is moment to moment to moment. To be with yourself, you love being alive. You love being alive.
So it is the opposite of what I just said, where it's like, you know, and we've talked about this with me, where I tend to sometimes less so than I used to, value my sense of self based on my credits and what I've achieved in the last month or so. And
yes.
And you want to get people away from that kind of destructive.
No, here, again, it's, so I rewire how a person has a whole outlook on life, right? There's a way that there's in the mainframe of how you talk to yourself, how you relate to all the areas of your life, all the actions you're taking, and how you interact in all the different areas of your life. What happens with you is you then go, the only way I'll be proud or love myself or think I turned out is if I'm competing at this level, if I'm making this much money, if I'm a household name.
Right.
And so, so that you're this guy or that guy or open for this guy or that guy or like everything you do.
Right.
Yeah. Like we're fucked. Right. Sorry. Yeah. Right. It's because nothing's good enough unless you hit this one bell.
Right. And now I'm not defending myself, but here's something that happened to me. No. But here, and we've talked about this before and sort of like, you know, you don't live in a vacuum. You live in a context of society. Our society is built, unfortunately, on capitalism and who are you and what's your celebrity. I'm working at a club up in Albany, New York, nice club. The staff takes me out for drinks. We go to the bar, this nice bar. The manager knows the staff and the manager's like, hey, this is the headliner. This is what the guy says to me, the manager. Have I seen you on TV? What shows have you been on? What are your credits? He literally said that to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then I listed a few and then he backed off and then he realized he had seen me. Now, I'm much better at dealing with that, but it's like,
oh my God.
That's society, you know,
Wait a minute. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, to say the first thing out of somebody's mouth to say to me.
Wait. Okay. Wait a minute. You're a doctor and you're going to perform a surgery on me. You're going to be in my club. You're going to perform a surgery.
No. I'm at a restaurant having drinks after the show. This isn't the comedy club. I'm at a restaurant after the shows are over socializing and the manager of the restaurant says to me, what have you been on? What have you done?
Yeah.
That's a little,
I don't think that's bad at all.
Come on.
Because he doesn't recognize you.
No, he wants to
be proud. He's not looking to, he's not coming for your half empty. He's coming for your, how he's going to be impressed with himself who's in his club, right? Your list is going to be cool. You headlined here. You're with that whole staff. He's not coming for the dark side. He's coming to be proud of himself. Like, oh, you're not going to leave it within my restaurant, right? So,
so then my problem is I use that as justification for me beating myself up that I'm not a bigger name or blah, 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 and that kind of stuff, right?
Right. All of that. Yeah. And I don't think that's what he was coming for at all. He was coming for why you're a big name.
Mm, okay.
Right, because trust me, you're in Albany, honey.
Yeah. Leave it to you to bring me down to earth.
Oh. No. Come on.
No,
Most of the world isn't New York or LA.
Yeah, I know. So when you have the first step of this process is getting someone to hack into their life, and what does that mean in terms of that? Does that sort of making someone really take a look at their BS and what they're doing to themselves?
No. That's coming. That's right. Not in session. So the first whole point that I have is to know yourself is to let yourself dream. And most people suck at dreaming. Right. They literally are like, well, I'd like to have it be better and not as bad and maybe a little better than, like, people do not have a vision for their health, for their community, for their, like, people don't dream.
Is it low self-esteem or just they've been told that they're not allowed to, or they've been taught this?
I think there's no place it's being taught. And I think we're organized to be pigeons, right? Like go home, do this again, once rinse and repeat, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, like actually being enjoyable. Like, oh, I like to go home on Tuesdays and, you know, and I go play tennis and I do that, right? Like, but like now your elbow's out. And so that's it on sports and you, right? It's more that concept where humans are so non-creative or pushing themselves to actually really go be risk takers, right? Mm-hmm. So when I coach people, I break them into their inner dialogue. I make them dream, like have visions in 12 different areas of their life, which then kind of horrifies people. But really, it should embarrass people because you're not dreaming. You don't know what you want in different areas of your life. And you don't realize actually that the smallest little changes would make you happier, right?
So, for example, what would be a small, like, what are you
listening to podcasts, right? Like, the amount people are now like podcasts in cars, right? Right? Like, oh, I can walk down the street. Like, so, you know, my cute husband's outside and he's building a whole deck for us, a whole porch and everything like that. And he literally is, you know, like, listening to his podcasts, like thinking he's getting educated,
right,
which he is.
Right.
And he's working and he took up guitar. And you're like, why did he take up guitar? Because I took up painting and he was jealous, right? And then you know, everyone who's in the audience go, when was the last time you started something really new that you'd be proud of yourself for? And everyone's like, leave me the hell alone, right? Like, it's like, they don't even know they could go do an open mic, right? Yeah. And actually be horrified that they bombed, but be so proud of themselves that they went for something new.
Yes.
Right. So the handle method is all about discovering how little you engage in creating your own life, even your goddamn sex life, right? Same wife, same time, right? And try nothing new.
Same.
Nothing new.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Like, come on, one toy. Go take her to one store.
We don't have any.
Dude.
I'm telling you.
Get a bag of toys, okay?
I don't have that kind of money. Come on.
Okay, ready? I'll give you $100 and you go get some flavoring. And then there we go. It's your cute wife.
So for people listening and they go, well, why can't therapy do this for me? And what is your view on therapy? I mean, you've tried therapy yourself. Like, what does it have a place? Not in your method, but does it have a place in people's lives? And I know it's just your opinion, but talk about that a little bit.
So first of all, mental health issues need therapists, period. Right. So you need medication. You may be bipolar. You are depressed, right? There is such a thing as depression. I believe in all of it.
Right.
Okay. Right. So I am not, I'm a coach and I'm a life coach. I am literally going to make you do things.
So what is the distinction between...
A therapist isn't going to be like, if you don't go to the gym, you're going to the gym three times, you're sending me a picture of you, the scale, you're going to lose the 20 pounds. Like, they're not...
No, I understand that. The process isn't the same, but there is an underlying similarity in that, like, in a therapist and with your work, you have to identify problems or things that you're trying to overcome and then figure out a way to overcome them. And I feel like there is a commonality in that you're sort of both targeting issues that people have, or people are targeting them, trying to target, right? Right.
Definitely people go to a therapist or go to a coach to lose weight, to find love, to figure out their career. We are making you make very physical changes in your life. Like figure out the new career, figure out what you're going to do differently. There's emotional, like there's a lot of dynamics. Like I get hired by CEOs who are having a hard time with their executive team, or went from X size and now they're at this size and they can't function as well anymore.
I'm glad you brought that up.
It's understanding themselves and what used to work and doesn't work anymore. And then I make up hacks. What's a hack? It's a conversation that I get you to start to see things differently, and then give you the teeniest assignment, right? So I get you to break into your own inner dialogue.
So
method does that.
Is there a common thing with CEOs that you find that, is it mainly that their interpersonal skills or in terms of managing people are lacking, or is it trying to be bigger, wanting to do well so they get a bigger bonus, and how to managing that? Like, are there?
So it's all. So I'll give some headers right now. Right. Mm-hmm. So I have someone who raised a lot of money, built a very nice business. Really, now he needs to grow it. Now it's a real big growth. Like it's like from market share to being market leader, very different. And the executive team thinks he's a bit of a blowhard. So what got him here, like everyone else is working harder than him. Right. So it's like, what? Mm. Right. Right. So then it's like everybody got into the teenage, right? Like it's like when, like what I used to be like when your kid was 10 years old, you were the cutest, you were the greatest parent on earth. Right. And now they're 16 and maybe there really is something wrong with you.
Is there a little jealousy on their part? They want to be the king maybe?
They've been around long enough. They take credit and now they think they have better answers than him. And then he didn't really mind the relationship. And he really doesn't write back the email. And he really does. Like there's real things he's doing and not doing that insult people that didn't, when everyone was crazy busy, it was different. But now they can naysay him. So I got brought in to do 360s and to get him to shift his relationship because he really needed it to go to the next level. And it wasn't that hard. Right.
I was just going to say it must be hard because you're dealing with strong-willed people who fought their way to the top. And
yes,
how do you find generally these CEOs are pretty easy to mold into the way you want them? Not mold, but
I think my ability to not give a shit about who you are or who I'm talking to, and to take and synthesize. Like, because when I work with the CEO, they have to do the same homework that's in interview. Like, you have to do all the homework. So I know you inside out. And then by the time I've done the 360 on you, I can do a nice, very fast smackdown on this is what's up with you. This is how we're going to fix it. This is what you're going to have to swallow, like eat crow about. And this is how we're going to shift the children's relationship to you. You're the parent and and you have a team. Like I literally use that example with it, right? Oh, your kids grew up and now they're shitty with you, right? And you're like, shut up. I don't owe you any explanation. And how's that going?
Yeah.
Oh, they stole the car last night, right? So it's not even far from that, right?
Go ahead.
So that's an example of real. Another one is actually interesting. wow, like think Harvard overachieving, smart, like crazy smart, but now the team is much bigger and they want a leader. They want to be inspired. And he's like, get back to work. Right? Like get back, like inspired. Not, yeah. Like I pay you. Like, like, oh, that's not going to work either. Right. So there's like a point. There really are points where the culture has to change and the leader is insufficient. What got him here, it doesn't work anymore.
I was just going to say, so then that person that is crazy smart and the guy should be in the back room in the laboratory mixing beakers and not the guy on the front line interacting with people.
Right.
Can that person be transformed into that person? Or do you say, not say, but do you suggest or find it's better for them to stay within their own sort of comfort zone?
That's no fun.
Okay. I know the answer to that, but I got to ask questions that my listeners might have.
Yeah. Right. No, I'm deployed for 180s.
Right.
Right. And ask me how many people get sent to improv.
Probably a lot, right?
All of them.
Why? Why is that important?
Because what happens when you do improv is you can't care about what people think or even what you think.
Exactly.
You don't have time to be like, how do I bark like a dog so everyone likes my dog? You just are told like, okay, you're a dog.
Yeah.
Right? And so to get over yourself emotionally, spiritually, and be able to be in the moment and have a personality that finds out it's just alive in the moment. No, that's the break in the continuum, right? So like,
is that the biggest thing, not just for CEOs, but just generally anybody you work with? I've always been curious about this. And I know it's hard to say just one thing, but if there's one or two things that are common, like getting people to be in the moment, is that like a very common problem that you see at a base level with most people you work with?
Yes. And then they all like combine don't know how to be in the moment with they really never asked their wife what they could do better or differently and took it like, and like they've never done 360s in their whole life, right? Like to their friends, even to themselves. Like if you were different, who do you wish you could be? Right? Like people don't do the work to change, not because change is so hard, but everyone's excusing why they never change. And then everyone stays in the same job. Sex life and the same. So people are fundamentally boring.
The work is hard though. When I was doing it, it is like a job. It really is like a second, third job. Like there's a, like you get, no, shut
like
up.
What else are we doing here?
But you
man?
Get, but you get sort of this mental, you know, you're in your own head as it is. And then you're trying to get out of you're hacking yourself to get in and and then you have punishments. You would give me punishments. You made me throw money away. You made me throw money away on the subway a bunch of times.
Okay,
Tell people what a punishment is. Tell people what a punishment is.
It's not a you. Call
what
it
is it? What do you call it?
I call it a consequence.
A consequence. Okay. So you would tell me whenever
it's much sexier when it's
whenever I had a negative thought, I had to throw $5 away, and I was actually
okay. Game of Thrones is back on, right? And so which is a very good one for me because if I don't have sex twice a week with my husband, I could lose two television shows I'm addicted to, and I never get to go back to the episode.
Wow. So if you don't have sex twice, then you can't watch Game of Thrones that Sunday or whatever.
That's right.
Wow. Okay.
So, and David's in on it. Right, yeah. Mike. Right, so like he knows if he's only had sex once this weekend, it's Sunday, right? he understands what Sunday means, right? And so, what that is it's I'm proud of myself. I definitely need to be held accountable, or else I will not be like I'm married. I love my husband. It's not like I'm not like I know sex is hot and is important to a marriage. The more we have it, the more we're connected and less turning into roommates.
But can't you make the argument that you shouldn't need I'll call it a device like that, a consequence to do the thing. Like can't you,
I wouldn't go to the gym. I don't even like getting my nails done. Right. The amount I would blow things off and blame it on I'm busy. Or I need to relax. Like when I go after that, there's 12 areas of life, and that having integrity in all 12 right, really matters, makes the quality of your life so much better. Humans are pigeons. We're like, oh, I got these three things, right? That's why your whole life was weighing on whether you headlined or got that club again or got on that show, right? It's because all the meaning of your life was there versus, you know, everything else in your life. That, not that that's not critical.
Right. For people listening, like how did you get to this place? Like what brought you to start to go into this world of life coaching? I think you said you'd tried therapy, but where did this sort of road start for you?
First of all, I did therapy when my parents sent me to therapy. And as a teenager, because I got caught lying like all the time.
Really?
All the time, right? Like all the time.
And you're so adorable. I can see you getting away with it.
I even like at the end of high school sat them down and were like, let me tell you all the lies, right? And this actually happened. So my therapist, I had a revelation at around 18, 19. I had the same therapist. And I was like, if I stop lying to the boyfriends, to these people, like there's a way that I feel so stuck in my life and stuck as myself that if I actually told all my lies and got all my consequences from telling the truth to everyone, I would blow up my life and finally be me, like the actual me, the one that
you
really
felt like you weren't genuine. You weren't the genuine.
I was genuinely two-faced, right?
But when you're lying that much and you're that young, how do you even know who the real you is? Like,
you mean I like cheated on a boyfriend, right? I was still dating the guy. Do I not know that I slept with his brother, right?
Like, whoa, his brother on top of it. Way to go. I leave it to you to swing for the fences on that. I'm proud of you.
I was that jerk. I mean, like, okay. I was.
So you knew. So you knew the real bad you and the good you. Yeah.
I was, the problem with me is I could get away with all the lying. No
Why?
One knew I, because I was good at it. I was good at it.
Why do you think you, what does a person have to be good at lying?
My father's daughter. I believe in epigenetics. My father was my father's a lawyer and and, you know, got married really early and eventually confessed to having cheated. And cleaned it up mostly. Enough so my mother could understand and forgive mostly. I was my father's daughter.
Got it.
And my father is an Orthodox Jewish man. The last person you look at and go,
wow, yeah,
he's partying, right? Like, Joel's partying, right? Like, no, he's not even hot, right? Like, there was nothing about him. There was nothing. He was so well disguised. But he eventually really took his consequence, right? Which is inspiring. And he cleaned it up with my mother. But at the time, I was an incredibly good liar who got away with it. And then my shrink supported it. That was what was like, helped.
How so? Like, what? Justifying it?
Okay, here, like, yes, not, it, here's what happened. I came to my shrink and I go, I think I have an idea. I think I'm going to tell everyone in my life every last lie I ever told. And I think I want to stop being the person that gets away with it because I think it'll be like a crucible. Like if I actually tell the truth, I'll finally feel like me. I'll have the friends that want to be my friends. I'll have I won't be this fake Lauren that has a continuation of the old me that like, ew, I don't want to be that Lauren anymore. And I think that I'm still lying to all those people keeps her going on.
And how old are you at the time?
19.
Wow. That's a very adult way of thinking at 19.
Well, that was the beginning of me, right?
Because did that just come on one day? Like, where did that point of view or approach come from?
I had, you know, I was always very spiritual and thinking that way and talking that way. I was always me. I was
not religious, lying. Spiritual.
Spiritual, not religious at all. Right. I'm not religious at all.
Right.
Spiritual. And so it was, I think it was just like I woke up with a real hangover finally that I was gross. that maybe it's me. It's the tagline for my book, Maybe It's Me. It was the first revelation that I was getting away, like I was numb. I couldn't feel anyone. I couldn't, like, it was really like I said, my lips moved, but I couldn't feel what I was saying.
So when you started to do this, it must have been incredibly hard and awkward.
Well, that was
weird.
When I broke up with my shrink, because he said, "Are you like, don't you dare? You'll like, don't you
really?
Dare?"
Your shrink said that.
He was like, that was like, and it was like, why? I'll stop meeting you too. Right? Like, if I don't have to work out what a liar I am every
day,
and I go and tell the truth to everybody, they'll hate me, love me. Like, I'll just be me. And then I could start over for real.
Yeah.
And I did it. I blew up my entire life. Not like maybe a little.
How did people react to you when you started? Did you lose friends? Did you disappoint people? Did you?
Sure.
And then did you feel bad when you told a friend the truth and then you lost that friend or you lost that relationship?
No.
Was your thinking like it wasn't meant to be anyway if they're going to leave me?
No, I didn't respect myself and I didn't respect any of them. You know, how do I feel about the brother that was sleeping with me when I was with his brother? Right? Like, Who was the clean one?
Right, but if you went to your sister and said, "I've been lying to you about this," and she never talked to you again, that would have hurt on some level, right?
None of the people that the only relationship I blew up was I could live with the truth of what I did, right? I'd rather be like, I was okay with being hated. That was really, I got a pitcher of beer over my head.
Hated for what though? Hated
for the two brothers. That's a fine example, right? Like the two brothers.
Somebody poured a beer. One of them poured a beer on your head.
No. A pitcher.
That's
an
awesome.
Actual pitcher, and it was winter.
Is this when you told them like what was happening and you revealed it, and he went like what? And he poured a beer. That's a consequence.
Oh my
That's
God. A consequence. And I even remember the bar. The bar still exists in Manhattan. Molly Malone's. I was at Molly Malone's on Second Avenue.
Oh my God.
In winter, right? In winter, I got dumped a real. Let me be clear.
Yeah.
It was the greatest, most liberating taxi ride of my life.
I'm just going to ask you, this is weight off your shoulders, right?
I was so proud that I cared more about being, like, even the karma of. His name's Michael, of Michael being able to hate me, felt more real than the con I was.
Yes, right? Someone hating you for who you are is better than someone liking you for who you aren't, right?
Amen.
That's like, your book. I'll let you have that as a title for your next book.
It's a little long, honey.
Well, we'll tighten it up. We'll workshop it.
So it was like this. So that was the beginning of the real me. And then what I discovered was the more I wasn't a liar, the more I could dream, the more I could believe in change, you know? And so, you know, the next thing I had to conquer was by the time I was 19, 20, I gained 15 to 20 pounds. And if you understood my vanity issues, you would be like that's the worst, like that's worse than everything else you could even bring up because I cared too much about, you know,
my were you life. Eating out of frustration or would just
no I wasn't extra I didn't realize that in high school yet you played so I played soccer
oh and then right you stopped, I was and then you yeah
like and so then so when I was 20 I had to figure out go for a run right like no really go for a run and stop eating this shit right like and that again like was a you know, tell a human they can't eat and they have to go exercise or only eat this and exercise. That was like, no one thinks that's fun. Right. And we much rather just eat crap and complain about our bodies.
Right.
Unless you're the person who doesn't do that and you're a natural at caring. So I work with all the areas where you're a jerk and wish you weren't.
Right. And that's
how you break into the mainframe. Right. You have a wish and then you realize your own inner dialogue is a lazy shit.
So I'm having all this conversation with you because I want people listening to know, because they hear life coach and they're like, that's a term that's thrown around, but I want them to hear your own story and see how, and hear how genuine you are and how real this is and not just some hocus pocus stuff that we've mentioned before. So what is inner you now? Because this is something new. This is an online course that you're doing for people.
Excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Okay. Well, first of all, I have been, for 20 years, I've been coaching Stanford Business School, MIT. Like, I, when I go,
well,
I go
into Curio. University. Yeah. Oh, all those.
Hugh Jackman. like, I coach the CEO of Live Nation, largest, you know, biggest guy. Biggest,
I know, guy. I work in those venues, Live Nation. Who, what's his name? What's
Michael
his name?
Rapinoe.
Oh, yeah.
Michael. So, and I, and what I've done over my 20 years is I've developed talks that are new language and ways to hack into how you think about yourself in all areas of your life, combined with homework.
Mm.
And
homework.
You did it all. You did it. You were a good boy.
I even did your course and stuff. I did it.
I know.
I threw money away on the subway, for God's sake. Go ahead.
I know you were good. You were good, which is why everything's working in your life now. Ha, 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 ha. Maybe a little. I think I helped.
I just did a one-man Broadway show. It's pretty good. Yeah, of course you did. Anyway, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, it's true. Okay, so what's happened is there are, so I have 20 minute talks, like funny with examples, like my, like truly, I know how to now tell a story, get you to get it, get the point, get the concept in 20 minutes or 25 minutes. Then you go do the homework digitally. Mm-hmm. And then the other fun part is that it's a site with Zoom, like everyone can video conference in. Mm-hmm. The site is secure and you can get an accountability buddy. So you can be in Texas and you can meet someone in New York and you can do the homework to get, like, you actually.
So it's like an alcoholic who has a sponsor. So you'd be my sponsor.
No, it's two people playing together. I think it's a little more fun than that. It's two people dreaming together, right? It's two people being able, like, and you don't have to practice it on your mother.
And how long is the course?
It's 10 sessions unless you use the other. There's like two, not upsells, but two other ones you if you want to download. But it's 10 basic, but 12 altogether. And in 20-minute intervals. And then basically it's there's two ways to do it. You could just listen and not do it. You can audit the whole thing, or you can really go to work on the whole
and
thing.
Do the
or
homework.
You can, right. But I make you pick, like, do not be guilty through the whole thing and half-ass it. So I make you, like,
pick what you
audit.
Think you're going to do. Yeah.
Right.
Do you, like, now, do they get to talk to you or one of the coaches as well? Or how?
Yes.
Yeah. How does
so
that work?
So what also happens is there's classes, not extra money, but once you've paid your bill, you're in for life. You get a promise tracker where you start to be managed. Like, you, like, it's all about integrity. And I teach you how to keep the five, like, they're your five promises away from changing your life. Ridiculously.
You think anybody is?
Anybody is. Right. And
those five promises might be different for me than they are for you, than they are for someone listening, but we all have our
five. I bet they are different.
Okay.
I bet they're different. And bet that the nuance of how I run the program, you know, for 20 years, even when you get a pop-up for different promises, depending on the area, you know, you want to see the 20 options. Because in those, you'll be like, oh, she really does know humans, right? Like, yeah, I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
And so inner you is how I can, you know, I'm over $650 an hour, right? Like, I'm more than that for an hour. And the whole entire course costs $650, but if you sign up now, you get $100, whatever, right? So it's for life, right? And so my
so what does that mean for life? So in other words, like, so I do the course, I do the 10 sessions, I have a buddy. I can kind of Skype in or video conference into sessions with you and Marnie and other people in your
classes
company?
All the time, anywhere, all the time.
For
it's
no
yours.
Pay, or do I have to
pay?
Pay? Wow, this is a deal.
Yes, I'm literally going for the masses and for them to have a community. And I'm also going to create. There's going to be inner you corporate, which is not the same thing as inner you life coaching. What I do for life is different than what I do in businesses. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Some of the modules are the same, but then there's like nine other ones that you've never heard, which is corporate concepts for a business person.
To manage people and managing all of that. Yeah.
And also how to think about power and communication and how you go about reaching goals, right? It's very smart for business, right? Then there's the three H's, which is for love. head, heart, and hoo-ha. And so I'm going to have a whole, so I have, the thing I'm selling is I'm selling three different courses.
Okay.
Right. That's it. And I'm going for those audiences. But once you're in your bucket, you can stay your whole life. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you ever want to get a coach or get this or get that, you can do more once you're there. But I'm bringing audiences. I'll do a lot. You know, I'm out to keep everybody really happy and active using the system as their promise tracker.
Right.
And actually, I'm actually out to change the world.
Well, I know that you.
I'm not out to just. I'm out to get your first check, but not and maybe two checks. Right?
No.
But that's about it.
Do you? Where can they go to sign up and do this?
Interview.com is ours. Handel Group.
Okay.
Lauren Zander. They're at all roads of Lauren Zander, okay, Handel Group, Interview, so, and it's Inner I N N E R U.
Right, that you let it let you. So, So before we wrap up, so looking back, you've been coaching for a while, and you have this business. Yeah. You look back and say, "Boy, did I was a little off back then in terms of what I was preaching versus now." Yeah. And like, give an example of that. I'm just curious because you're always so honest about yourself, which I really admire.
Yeah. I haven't changed any of the things I'm preaching. I would have changed things I chased different. Like I certainly have a list of like, God, I wish I never went after that.
You mean like you in business and pursuing businesses, your business?
Like I've made major business mistakes that have taught me long and hard, right? That I wish I didn't need. In regards to the philosophy I'm teaching, it hasn't changed. Mm. It's only gotten better and I've advanced it.
In what way?
So I didn't used to address the subconscious, right? I didn't used to address, so now I have science backing me up, right? So I have a lot more scientific data that I can use to prove what I'm doing now, which makes me even more legitimate.
Is this data from the world of psychoanalysis and therapy or
what? No, it's for example. Yeah, I mean, I don't know who did like the
neurons and all of this. Like that.
Yeah. So the amount a human being has a negative thought, like how many negative thoughts versus positive thoughts does a human being has over 80% negative thoughts to 20% positive thoughts, period.
Mm.
Like you are not ever not thinking negatively. Not you, Paul, but all humans.
Mm.
And then to top it off, it gets worse. They're repeating. Right. They're not even new ones.
Right.
They're the same ones. And then they're, and just change the name of the person you're pissed at, but it's the same pissed on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock as it was the Tuesday before at 4 o'clock. Right. And it doesn't even recognize it's looping and looping and looping and looping.
Yeah.
Right. So I now have brutal science backing up what I've known all along. Right. And so that's fun.
Yeah.
Cause that'll, scare the shit.
And that science comes out of the analysis of the brain and way the brain functions and all of that. Right.
Yes. Right. And so then I get to make a very good case, for why you need to track your negative inner dialogue. Right. So one of the things we do in the program. So my program is doing great in regards to science catching up.
But
I was there. I was there already. But now, I can be very cocky about that.
but you're so adorable that you never really cocky.
Well, I really want to just change your life, and I'm only as good as I changed your life, which then makes me pretty great, right?
I could speak firsthand. It definitely works. It's bumpy. It's messy. Sometimes you're swearing at the moon or whatever, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but
okay, fine.
We're still in each other's lives all this time later. So that says something too. So,
it does. How long does this go back? Come on, man.
10 years, maybe at least.
It really does.
Maybe a little less than that, but a while. Yeah. But I'm adorable. Who doesn't want to hang out with me? Come on.
I agree. Me too. You too. No. I knew I was keeping you
So yeah, same here. So yes. Everyone listening needs something. So go see Lauren. She'll it's make true. You throw money away or do something, push-ups in the rain.
I will. If you are bored, boring, want life more interesting, hotter, deeper, or even real change, like shit, I need real change more than just like
right.
more flavor.
Right.
I will rock your world. And you can get rocked and just listen. You don't have to do all the work though.
Through the inner youth thing. Yeah.
Through right. the inner youth. But that's a lie. Because if you listen to the whole thing, you will, I will guarantee you will 100% do more than you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you
don't do the homework, just listening, it'll sort of seep into the, yeah. Gotcha.
It'll be like 200% if you're the person who actually does it, which is really like, but the person who is never going to do it, it will change you. I guarantee
just listening.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, inner you, Handel method. And Woo-hoo! Then we're going to try to figure out getting together for dinner, either coming out or
you
seeing
lie. You. You lie to me.
No, no, no.
You
no.
Hollywood me.
No, no, no. I do mean it. It's just, you do it on a night when I'm working all the time. That's the problem.
You don't
on
have
Friday.
To. Here's what you can do. If you're driving to Rhode Island or going anywhere that passes us.
On a Friday.
Back on a, no, if you give me like a Tuesday night, I'll
oh, really?
Dinner. If you give us notice.
Oh, I thought it was just Tuesday.
Friday.
I mean, Friday. I'm sorry. Friday. I thought it was just Friday.
Fridays or Sundays, but or Saturday. Any night of the weekend is really true.
Okay, but that's my 9 to 5 when I'm out
okay,
there
fine.
For my
Tell
public.
Me when you're driving by on a Tuesday right, and I will make right. Marnie rally.
All right. How many times have you had sex this week?
Once.
Whoa, good for you. Man, I don't come anywhere near twice a week. Nowhere near.
I have a promise. I got television.
You got a game.
I had Game of Thrones.
All right. Lauren Zander, love you. Handel Group.
Thank you.
The Handel Method, inner you, go get it, fix yourself. And and don't throw beer on anybody's head. All right.
Unless they really deserve it.
All right.
There you go, Lauren Zander. She's definitely on her own path, man. And I think she can really help people. I think she's got a good heart, and she's got a very, very unique way of looking at things and approaching things. And please, if you get a second, go to iTunes, leave some comments about the podcast if you like it. If you don't, don't go. See you next week.